Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro Call. Today is August 1st, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Couple announcements. First off, those of you that are members of Motor Vitality, if you're listening to this and you are members, I am going to get rid of the paid membership subscription on MotorVitality.com. I'm going to eliminate it and give access to all the tools and everything that we have for free on there for now. And so that we're working on that. However, one of the things that I am also doing, we run into a situation frequently. You know, we have the installer training going on up here, and for every company that sends us somebody and understands the value of sending us somebody, there are a couple more who call inquiring about the pricing and as much as they would like to be able to do it. You know, I mean, our industry has so many of these small dealerships that are really trying to do the right thing and get their people trained, but they're wearing a billion different hats, and the fees associated with sending somebody to be trained properly is not inexpensive. And unfortunately, there's a cost associated with Motor Vitality running these classes. And so what I've decided to do, with the understanding that, and I try and help those dealers, if those dealers call and, you know, there's only so much they can do, then I really do try and help them, but there's a cost associated with that, as I said. So I believe that the training that we're doing and teaching people to do proper drain connections and, you know, neat clean installations, and to understand, you know, what customers are, you know, it's the ethics and the, you know, the best practices, as well as the proper installation methods. So what I've decided to do is to create a scholarship program, and we'll be launching that by the end of this week. So by tomorrow, I will have that up and running. Hopefully by today, I'm working on it a little bit more today. And we'll be looking for scholarship donations, and those dealers out there that are looking to send their installer or their technician here to get the proper training will be able to apply for those scholarship funds. And my hope is that in doing so, we'll be able to, you know, slowly, one tech at a time, one installer at a time, be able to raise the, you know, the professionalism and the integrity level. I mean, it's my belief that even if we have a competitor out there that is doing it wrong, I just believe that most people, when they're connecting a drain incorrectly, or when they're doing an installation, you know, in a way that is not the best practices, I don't think that it's malicious most of the time. I don't think that most of the time it's laziness. I think that it's improper training. And unfortunately, even if we have that smaller competitor out there that's doing that, and we're a larger competitor, we're a larger company, and we have the skill and the ability to train internally and stuff like that, that smaller company can do some pretty major damage to us. You know, it can give the industry as a whole a bad name. So I think it benefits the entire industry to have people properly trained. So if that's something that you're interested in contributing to, please watch for that. And at you'll find that at MotorVitality.com. We will certainly send out the constant contact messages, you know, and the email blast, and we'll talk about that. But that's the idea, is to try and you know, have as much training as possible as we can. So anyway, that was my announcements. I do know that coming up here in just about a month, I hope to see everybody at, I will be speaking at the Culligan Tri-State meeting in September, and then immediately following that, we'll be headed over to mid-year to the WQA leadership conference in Chicago this year. So I hope to see everybody there. And with that, after those announcements, I'm going to start to call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions that you may have?
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Jen.
Hey.
You know what? I missed that. I missed that long pause.
I know. Me.
You haven't been on in a while. It is like that used to be the tradition. It was like silence, and then Jen, Kelly. What's up, Jen?
Kelly.
What's going on?
So, WQA conference is in Long Beach, 2025, mm-hmm. April 21st is when it starts. The schedule is very, very different than it usually is. We're going to start on Tuesday, have quite a bit of education on Tuesday. Wednesday and Thursday are the trade show and a little bit more education. But we're going to have quite a bit of education in there. Obviously, we want people, especially if you're certified, we want you to be able to get your continued education points. What I am requesting is if there is anything that, any topics that you would like to see, whether it's technical or business, Mike McGowan runs the business operations, but I'm also on that committee. But if there's any topics you would like to hear, or if you would love to speak, because we are always looking for speakers, then please reach out to me. You can, through Facebook, if that's the easiest way, but reach out, and, or Dr. Tanya Lubner, you can reach out to her also, and we'll try to get that on the agenda.
Well, are they not doing the speaking the way they have in the past where people submit the ideas and
they are. Yes, they are. Call for Speakers is actually open right now. They haven't announced it yet, though. There was a little bit of a surprise to me and Mike, because they said that Call for Speakers was open, and we're like, oh, we haven't seen anything yet. So probably beginning of next week, Facebook posts will start going out, emails will start going out. But still, I know, you know, we'll have people that will submit their topics, but we don't, then somebody will pop up a month before and say, well, I'd like to hear about microplastics. By then, we have the schedule set by usually Thanksgiving is what I shoot for. So if we know ahead of time, then we can find an expert to talk about it if we don't have somebody that submits. But, yes, please submit if you are interested in some topics in presenting.
Excellent. Thank you, Jen. That's awesome. I am looking forward to Long Beach, California. That will be fun. So,
yes.
All right. Anybody
and,
else?
I'm sorry. So, really quick, keep in mind, it is the travel day on that Monday, because there's just something in the evening. The president's reception is in the evening, but on Monday. But travel day on Monday is the day after Easter. So keep that in mind. You might want to book, if you're flying out, you might want to book ASAP, because when I was looking at flights, it's the flights are booking up pretty quick and getting expensive. So,
yeah, that makes sense. Boy, and it's so weird to think about 2025 and the day after Easter. I mean, we will have gone through another winter, and we'll be in deep in spring. You know, by that time already, it's kind of it's so weird to think about. You said, oh, we try and have the schedule done by Thanksgiving. I'm like, holy crap, that's only a couple months. Wow,
that's, I know.
time is a funny thing. All right, thank you, Jen. I appreciate that. That's great information. Anybody else? So. Okay, well, let's let's talk about our topic today. And we have talked about this before a little bit, but it's been a long time. And this came up this, you know, I had an opportunity last couple of days. Somebody walked into our shop and asked me to come out and test some water and to do stuff. And one of the things that it just reminded me, one of the things I love about this industry is just sometimes you get to completely play detective, you know, and to go into the house, and it's almost like, you know, you troubleshoot it, you know, you just narrow down things and you do different tests. This particular one, they had determined that they had tannins in their house. But it was just really fun to go through and do all the different tests that are necessary to be able to treat the tannins. I mean, obviously I did not have a specific tannin test with me, but there are some workarounds that you can do to determine whether something is tannins and or iron. And in fact, I'll mention that here. We have a little bit of time. The way that workaround is, because tannins can sometimes be, they can sometimes be misdiagnosed, right? So if you have yellow water, then that could either be oxidized iron or it could be tannins. And if you don't have a tannin test available, one of the ways to do it to determine whether it's tannins or not is you soften, you know, so let's say you test the raw water, and this is the case that I did. I tested the raw water, they had about 17 grains of hardness and what looked like about a part and a half per million of iron. So I did open up the back of the toilet, and I looked, and there was a little bit of iron, not a ton of iron in the back of the toilets, but there was a little bit in the back of the toilets. And they had a huge tub, a white tub that they filled up, and the water came out looking kind of a grayish-green color. Now, that was a good indication to me that it might be tannins, because it was more greenish than yellow, and often when you have oxidized iron, it tends to be more of a yellow color. But I have seen tannins that have been that, you know, where it looks like somebody peed in the bathtub. The other clue at this house is that there was a ton of swampland around them. So they were backed up in the woods, and there were, you know, cat's tails and all kinds of wetlands right around in their area. But I ran the water, I took the hard water, the raw water, I ran it through my mini softener, and this is something, you know, a lot of people, they don't like to even pull out that mini softener. A lot of people don't even carry that mini softener that comes in the demo kits, because they're so afraid that that's going to look like and sometimes if a customer's seen the big, long, you know, 3.5 hour scary presentation that somebody may have come in and done, maybe they have this reaction like, oh, I don't want to see that. But there's a real, first off, that soap demonstration, if done properly, is really powerful. And it does wow people, especially when it's explained properly and stuff like that. But from a practical standpoint, that little mini water softener is not just for demonstration purposes so they can make soap suds. It also gives you the opportunity to make soft water at the home, you know, to run the water through that and see if it's going to take out the calcium and the iron. So I ran it through the mini and I retested iron. Now, one of the things that I know about tannins is that they will show up on an iron test as iron. So so I ran the water through the mini and I retested, and it had reduced the iron down to about half a part. So now it looked like I had about a part per million of iron. So then I ran the water. I carry little 1 micron, they call it Wattman paper. It's little 1 micron pleated filters. So I ran the softened water through those filters and retested the iron again. By the way, if you do not have Wattman paper, you can also get like 5 coffee filters and layer them together and pour the water through that. It should work as well. Okay. The Wattman paper is 1 micron paper and definitely will work if you can find that. So I ran it through there and I retested the iron, it still showed as iron. Now, the reason I now know that they had tannins was because retested the iron after running the softened water through the Wattman paper, and it still showed iron. And if it were ferric iron or oxidized iron causing the discoloration, then that 1 micron pleated filter would have removed the iron. And so that told me that I likely had iron. I'm going to throw this out and just kind of test you guys a little bit. What other test would be necessary in this situation for me to properly make a recommendation? What other test should be done in order for me to make a recommendation? So I've determined that I have tannins in the water. Okay. What else do I need to do? What other tests do I need to do? It's a big one that would affect the effectiveness of a tannin unit.
Are you using an anion mining to see if you can reduce
the tannin? So actually, what I did to verify that the system that I recommended would work was I actually brought a gallon jug back to the shop, and I had an extra little mini softener around, and I put tannin resin in it and ran it, used a pump, one of the pumps from that, and I pumped it through the mini softener again and then threw a little mini with tannin resin in it and put it in a white bucket and looked for the color and then tested for the iron, and it came out clear in both cases. So I'm very confident of my diagnosis and my recommendation. And yeah, would put in a tannin unit after the, so the softener will go first, and then, and actually the guy already has a softener that seems to be working fine. So putting in a tannin unit subsequent to the softener is going to be the solution. But there is another test that needs to be done that I think a lot of people, when they go into the home, forego. I don't think they do it, or if they do it, they don't understand the value of the test. Yet it's one of the tests that we need to be doing that has an impact on, definitely on tannins, but on a lot of other things. I mean, it can help give you a clue on whether, if you have a lot of iron, whether you have oxidized or clear water iron. What test am I talking about?
I believe it's pH.
That would be the one. Yeah. pH is really, it's a test that a lot of us skip. I think that's fine. We don't have pH problems around here. And it's a test that we skip. First off, when you have problem water, pH is a critical component. And absolutely in the case of tannins, it really does have an impact on the effectiveness of a tannin unit and how long the tannin resin is going to last and so on and so forth. And I actually learned some things because I called an expert, Bill Bowden, I think, at Resin Tech, and
Bill Coble.
Coble, thank you. Kind of spacing on that last thing. Thank you, Paul. Bill Coble, and learned some things about tannin resin and its effectiveness and how to increase the longevity and stuff like that. Again, one of the things I love about this industry is just how much there is to learn on a daily basis. But pH can have a big impact on that. Because tannins are an acid, tannic acid, tannin resin will last longer if you have slightly alkaline water. That was one of the things that I learned. One of the other things that I learned is that tannin resin should be, when you regenerate it with salt, regenerating it more often and with a very slow salt brine is the best option. So, you put it in a regular water softener, but you can change the brine venturi so that the brine draw is significantly longer and slower than that of a regular water softener. So, you know, it gives you, and that's because of the kinetics, because of the chloride exchange on that Tana resin. It takes a little longer, and so you want that time. You want more exposure time for it. But yeah, pH. So that led me to, you know, to kind of talk about this topic is, you know, what test, when you guys go into a home, you know, when you're out there, you're in sales or maybe you're doing service or whatever, I'm just curious, what tests do you guys typically do? Obviously, there are some problem water situations that require us to go in and be a detective and do some more thorough tests and those types of things. But in general, just when you go into the everyday average home, what are your standard tests? Are you just doing hardness and iron? You know, what do you do?
We use the Lamont tester, so we get the full readout of what the Lamont tester gives us.
You're using the, is that the spin touch you're using, Paul?
Yeah, we're using the spin test.
So that spin touch, you know, that's kind of nice because within 2 minutes you get, you know, if you're in city water, you get the chlorine levels you know, as well as the hardness and alkalinity and those types of things. And then on the well, you do get the, you know, the iron and actually does the breakdown ferric and ferrous and nitrates. And I mean, each of those discs will give you 8 results within a 2 to 3 minute time period, which is kind of nice. Now, Paul, I'm curious, do your people know how to, because sometimes on a spin touch, some, you know, there are little anomalies, right? Sometimes you'll get something that just doesn't make sense. Do your people also know how to verify those tests using the standard traditional reagent, or do they just kind of count
the
spin touch? And
they certainly do. They have additional test kits with them.
Yeah.
To be doing the pH and the hardness and the iron. We use a syringe test as well, a 0.2 UM syringe test. That really helps out a lot with the tannin. You know, you can put that through that filter like you're doing. And white styrofoam cups, as my samples still have color, or have cleared that all up, and then can determine what we're seeing there on the tannin. I wanted to go another step on this, and it's probably, maybe I shouldn't.
No,
if
please,
anybody's using,
go.
If anybody's out there using mixed beds for tannins, stop.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah.
I agree, and that's a really common practice. I've seen people do that all over the country, and it's an extremely temporary fix. I mean, temporary.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Would you repeat what Paul said? I couldn't hear it.
So it's a really common practice to simply throw, you know, 5 or 6 inches of Tana resin right on top of the softener resin, and you know, if you have really low tannins in there, I mean, it will make that color go away for a little while, but man, the Tana resin is going to foul way before the softener resin does. It's going to stop on its effectiveness. It's going to mix as it regenerates. It's going to mix throughout the entire bed, and you're going to prematurely foul the whole thing. You're going to rebed the whole thing. But Paul, why are you saying stop?
How about the drain line becoming so calcified up that it plugs and then blows off the back of the unit, and then you can flood yourself a basement?
Sure. There's that too, right? Because, and that's true because, you know, you always, and when we talk about treatment trains, well, I mean, this call could definitely turn, and I guess we could do an entire call on how to treat tannins and stuff like that. But anytime you have nitrate would be the same thing, an anion resin system, it should always go after the softener. And having separate units is definitely the best way to do it. You want to take out the calcium first, the hardness first, and then put the anion unit in. And you know, if you have a downflow service, you're taking anion resin and putting it straight on top of the you know, the resin. Go ahead. Yep.
Yeah, the cation resin, and so
you're putting it on top of
the
cation resin, then
and following it up.
Yeah, Yeah, then you're doing it the opposite. The water is running, particularly if you have look, Tana resin is lighter, significantly lighter than regular resin, and so it does tend to want to stay at the top of the bed. However, when you're backwashing, you're doing you are mixing all of that stuff up. It's going to get mixed inside that resin bed, and eventually it's just not going to, it's going to foul. And I think especially when you have that high hardness in the water, what you're talking about there, Paul, with, calcifying the drain line, that's an interesting concern. Definitely. I've actually never seen that happen, but it makes total sense to me that it would.
It'll play havoc inside the valve as well.
Kelly, I agree with Paul. We've seen the same thing. It'll plug the drain line flow control, the drain line itself. It'll build up on the components inside the head.
Yeah.
And we were told that if the hardness is below a certain threshold, you don't have to worry about it. My opinion is it still goes on. It just takes longer to manifest.
Yeah. So, all right. So, thank you guys for that. I mean, tannins are, they're fun. Problem water in general. I mean, I love like the detective work that you have to do to fix that type of stuff. It's so different than just, doing all the tests on city water. But let's say it is just a regular, normal, normal presentation. You're going in, even if it is on city water. Are you guys doing a pH test when you go in and you do the city water, even if you know that there's not typically a problem with it? And by the way, pH on wells, has a major impact, right? I mean, arsenic is impacted by pH, tannins, obviously, iron, stuff like that. But on city water, those of you that are going in on city water, are you typically doing a pH test? And what other test are you or are you not doing?
We're doing pH all the time. We're doing chlorine on city water supplies. We are always recommending carbon filtration to remove the chlorine.
Cool. And see, Paul, I'd be interested
low,
in talking to you.
Think it's hard. I've got another question for you before this call ends, though. You stated going with a longer brine draw, slower brine draw. So if your standard unit's at 60 minutes, what are you saying, an hour and a half, 2 hours on the brine draw for the...
Well, but remember your brine draw, okay, Paul, that if you get a 60-minute brine draw, you've only got about, 8 to 10 minutes of that.
Yep.
60 is the salt, right? So what you want to do, it's not necessarily, you could certainly increase the time on the brine draw, but it's the salt draw, the actual brine draw
the slowness
that
of it.
You want to... Yeah. So you want to slow that down so that it's sucking brine out of the brine tank. That was new to me. I just learned that yesterday, as a matter of fact. So
brand new to me
so
today.
If I,
thank you.
What's that?
Brand new to me today. Thank you.
Yeah.
Kelly.
Paul, go ahead.
Yeah. If you have the capacity to do it, I would tend to say I would lengthen the brine rinse cycle as well. Just
sure.
Make sure that you're
right.
Completely flush that back out, not simply, out of the 60 minutes, a higher percentage of the time is drawing brine. I want to make sure that that's thoroughly rinsed. So, yeah, I would add minutes to the brine and rinse cycle correspondingly.
Yeah, definitely. You know what, we're like almost at the end of our time, and this call kind of turned into like a how to treat tannins call.
I got a quick. This is Greg in Valparaiso.
Hey, Greg, go ahead.
Tannins. What I've always done with tannins is, and I just ran into it yesterday. White bucket and some iron out.
Yeah
that will do it. Right, right.
Yellow.
Yeah, it's another way
and
to do it. Absolutely.
I came in the call late, but that's what I do in the field sometimes.
Yep. No, you're right. That's. Go ahead, Jen.
Oh no! That's I was going to say that. That's also kind of another way that I've seen it done. Most old school will, but and I know we're at our time, so maybe Marianne has a great explanation the difference between pH and alkalinity. Maybe we could have her jump on the call at one point, because alkalinity
is so
important to test. And then, you know, there are a lot of times that, and I know I used to always look at people that would do a, send their water in for a full analysis to a lab. And I used to think, well, that's a little bit of overkill. But honestly, like, I ran into something up in the Upper Peninsula just recently where they had uranium in the water, and the uranium was taking up extra space on the resin beads. And because of that, they weren't getting the capacities they thought, and they were getting bleed through. So, you know, sometimes sending it, if things just aren't working right, it's not just up the dose of the salt. It's, there's possibly something else in there. Let's send it in for a full analysis. Yeah.
Seen that with barium as well. The same thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So, so here's the real quick, because we got to end, and I love this conversation. This has been so good. Actually, it went different than what I expected it to, but let me just make one last point here as we sign off when it comes to tests. I think the more tests you can do, and there are some tests that have to be done in the field, pH being one of them, is a field test. You're not going to necessarily get an accurate reading if you send that pH to the lab, because so many different things can change the pH. So pH is a field test, should be done in the field, and it may be compared to that of a lab result. But even if you know that you have an area where there's not that big of a problem, like pH is not going to have an impact, or you don't have those types of issues, it's a good idea to test for those things, even if you know there's not going to be a problem. Because what we tend to do in sales is we go in and we, you know, we're constantly saying, oh, your water's horrible. This is so bad. You got to treat this water. You got to do this. Look for some things to test for that you know are not that problematic, so that you have some good news. Oh, well, your pH is well in line here. That's excellent. You know, run the water through the mini and test for the iron and tell them you just saved yourself a ton of money. You don't necessarily have to put in an iron filter because you have all clear water iron. You know, don't only go in there and test for the things that you know are problematic. Feel free to give the customer some good news as well. I think it adds some credibility to us, and it really helps combat that you're only telling me all the bad stuff kind of impression that we can give. God, this time just flew by today. We are out of time, but any final sentences or comments here before we sign off? All right, everybody. I appreciate it so much. Thank you very much. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody. Have a great week.
Take care, Kelly.